During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/27 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on The Grave Talks, History That Haunts, Inside West Hill Manor, a conversation with Beth O'Brien. West Hill Manor in Burlington, New Jersey, is more than a historic home. It's a place where history and mystery intertwine. Built between 1797 and 1799, this rare federal-style estate has witnessed extraordinary moments. Inside its walls, Susanna Emlyn underwent one of the first documented breast cancer surgeries in America without anesthesia and survived. Many believe her spirit still lingers in the very room where her cries once echoed. The manor's second owner, Eliza Gurney, forged a lasting connection with President Abraham Lincoln, exchanging letters so meaningful that one was reportedly found in his pocket the night he was assassinated. Yet West Hill's story isn't confined to history books. Reports of footsteps across empty floors, phantom gunshots, disembodied voices, and unexplained touches suggest the house is very much still alive. Today on The Grave Talks, psychic medium and paranormal investigator Beth O'Brien, also a volunteer devoted to preserving West Hill Manor, shares her unique perspective on why this home continues to captivate and to haunt. So, Beth, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about West Hill Manor. Now, this is a home that was, oh my gosh, it goes way back to the late 1700s there in Burlington, New Jersey?
Correct. Yes, 1797, they started building this house.
How did you get involved with the house?
Thank you for having me on your show.
You're very welcome.
I got involved. So some of the things that I do, one of them is I am a psychic medium, so I do readings. And one of my clients had a reading, and he is a Mason. And he said, would you like to come to my lodge and do like a paranormal 101 and go over, how to run a paranormal investigation and the equipment? So I said, sure. So me and my boyfriend went over there, and we met a gentleman there who is also a Mason. His name is Joe Rival. Him and his wife are the caretakers of West Hill. So he said, well, I would like, somebody, a paranormal team, to come out to the house and do an investigation. So that's how we got involved at West Hill Manor and running the paranormal investigations on Friday and Saturday nights.
Which can be a lot, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. So you're a paranormal investigator, psychic medium. How long have you had the psychic medium abilities? Is that something that you realized from a young age?
Yeah, I was really young, probably age 5 or even younger. I realized that I was seeing things and hearing things that no one else could explain. But as a child, I was frightened from it. So, you know, you kind of suppress it. And back then, I'm old now, I'm 58. So back then it was like, you know, oh, no, there's no such thing, you know, spirits. My mom's side of the family was Catholic. My dad was Baptist. So you know how that worked. And, you know, Catholics, you don't, you know, back then you don't speak about the dead. So then I kind of suppressed it. And then at the age of 10, we moved to Tabernacle, which is a lot of Native American burial ground, Tabernacle, New Jersey. It's the Pine Barrens. You've heard stories about the Pine Barrens and Jersey Devil and all that, right? That's another show. But anyway, that's where I grew up. So the woods were very haunting, and I had a spirit of a Native American girl come into my room and like sit on the edge of my bed, and I started screaming and crying. My dad came in, and there's nobody there. And my mother actually experienced, she saw a full headdress Native American chief at the end of, at the edge of her bed.
Wow.
So then, yeah, but she didn't ever speak of that. So backtracking just a little bit, when I was at that really, really young age, I saw my great-grandfather's spirit laying on the couch. And my mom said, no, he died before you were born. And I'm like, well, why is he laying there? Stuff like that. And then it was like, oh, you're too sensitive. Go to your room. Stop crying. That's what I got my whole life. And I used to be afraid at night. When I would go to bed, I would put the covers over my head because, like, I felt like people were looking at me, like spirits, and somebody,
oh,
I felt like someone,
yeah,
always in my room. And obviously, you know, there was no humans in my room because my dad would be like, all right, enough now. Nobody's there. Stop crying and being afraid. So then you suppress it as a child. Now it's more sociable, especially social media. You know, your childhood, you know, has a, you know, imaginary friend. They're spirits, you know, that they see, as you hear, you know, kids have that, you know, ability when they're young to have imaginary friends. Well, there are spirits coming to them, or animals, like my daughter saw a dog. So you would have to like pet the dog and everything, but it really wasn't there. So it's been through the years. And then as adulthood, I ended up finding a mentor who helped with my abilities and took classes to develop it and bring out self-confidence and self-esteem. And then ever since then, I've been just, you know, lowing and growing with everything. I'm also a Reiki master. I'm a certified shaman, end-of-life death doula. I work with hospice, people that are dying, certified hypnotist. I do past life regressions, inner child healing, paranormal investigator. I do private homes for people's houses who are haunted, and I do historic homes to help raise money. So I do a lot of stuff, and I'm still you know, growing and learning, because you never master this. The universe,
right,
is so big.
True.
So, and yeah.
Especially with what you do, there is it's always a journey. It's not
always
like, okay, great, I've got my master's degree or my doctorate now, and I can move forward. It's like, it's a continual learning environment, I would think.
Yeah, sure is.
And a lot of times when kids have those abilities when they're young, it tends to, I think, because you do suppress it because you don't want it. You know, it's different. You know, at a point you learn other people aren't seeing those things you are. And it's
right,
scary. So I see how kids would press it down and try to ignore it. But it never stopped for you, it sounds like.
It never stopped, and it's a way of life. It's just part of my everyday life, you know, which I guess you just adjust to the frequency. It's like something that never goes away. It's always there. But you just have to take time for yourself to make sure you eat right and sleep right and all that kind of stuff, because it's always around. And that's what I tell people. It's a way of life for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It takes a lot of energy. patience. It takes, it drains you at a lot of times. But it's also very helpful to a lot of, you know, to a lot of people who need intuitive guidance. I've assisted in exorcisms. They're real. So a lot of people need, you know, there's good and bad energy on this earth, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like you become, that's why I do so many things, because I really need to be well-rounded when it comes to somebody asking for help or asking for guidance. And then I was a medical assistant in OBGYN for 20 years before I started doing this full-time, 2016.
Dang. It's like, yeah. You don't sleep, I don't think.
Well, I don't sleep, but that's because of menopause. Anyway, that's another.
Girl, I know. I know. How can you? I'm hot. I'm hot.
Yeah.
I can't sleep.
And you know, anxiety is real because you feel that emotion, that intenseness of other spirits. And so you just like go on about your day and do the best you can. And then my goal is to help as many people as I can too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, when you went into West Hill Manor, did you pick up on energy there right away? Can you do that when you go into different locations, kind of pick up on things?
Oh, yeah. The energy of the house usually comes while I'm driving to that location. But you know what? It's good energy at West Hill. There's nothing, no bad spirits at West Hill, you know, and unless, you know, the person. I truly believe when you pass away that you still have your soul, you still have your spirit. So if you're cranky on earth, you're cranky up there in heaven, mm-hmm. you know, or wherever you go. But your personality don't go away. So, you know, people say, you know, they sometimes they'll say there's something angry there, but there's not. There's just, you know, that was their personality. And, you know, they were Quakers that lived there, you know, and the history is fascinating. So when I went there, I just felt like a piece of calm because actually Joe and Judy Rival are the caretakers. And after they took over the mansion, the manor, Judy Rival found out that she was related to Susanna Emlyn.
Oh, so, that's interesting.
I know. It's like the house was calling her, you know?
Yeah. I've heard that before. A lot of people have said that, you know, a house.
Yeah.
It was like they're just drawn to it, like magnetically drawn to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this house has a lot of really interesting, fascinating history, actually.
Fascinating.
And with Susanna, let's start with her because her and her husband built this house, correct?
Sure. Susanna and Samuel Emlyn built the house, got the house built in 1797. It was finished in 1799. The reason they had it built is because they were living in Philadelphia and they're Quakers, but there was the yellow fever. It was a big breakout of the yellow fever. They originally bought it as a vacation home because they had a lot of money. Instead, they ended up moving there and staying there at West Hill Manor.
Which I found so interesting. They wanted to escape the yellow fever. They move into this house, and then she ends up with breast cancer.
Yes. So in 1813, you know, she had a lump. The lump was, she felt a lump. It was as big as an ostrich egg, they said.
Mm.
So back then, you know, they didn't know what to do with it. You know, they tried to like bind her breasts to up, you know, with material. They tried salves, all kinds of different things, but it just kept getting bigger. So they actually went over, her and her husband, Samuel, went to the UK to try to find a doctor to help her. They couldn't help her over there. So they came back to the United States, and her brother-in-law, Dr. Physick, they had a consultation with him. So they actually had a group of doctors, which some were actually from the UK. They just came to the United States and helped because Dr. Physick led this operation. So 1814, they had the operation. They did a mastectomy and removed the tumor while she was awake. No anesthesia, no pain meds, which usually back then you would bleed out or you would die. So they didn't have anything, no antiseptic, no pain meds. They had maybe Dilaudid, which really didn't do anything. And I think someone said, and cocaine, but that really didn't do anything, you know? So you really need to be put to sleep. So it was the very first breast cancer surgery and survival in the United States in this house, in her bedroom at West Hill Manor.
Wow.
The very first one.
I can't imagine what she went through.
The pain alone, I don't even know how she survived, but she did survive. She was in bed for like 14 days before she could even get up to move. And then she lived for 5 years until the cancer came back, and she died in 1819 from return of the cancer. And she was young, in her 40s, so she was a young person.
That's interesting that,
yeah,
because with that surgery, and you think at the time, like, it's just so different having surgery. Like you're talking about, there's no pain meds, but also the antibiotics and the...
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't die from the surgery.
Yeah, she led the way. She led the path. Yeah, it's unheard of. And it was the very first one. And the other thing is she was able to correspond back with her father, who went to the UK because her Susanna's mother died a month after she was born. So her father moved to the UK. And then Susanna was actually taken to Burlington and was raised by her aunt Susanna. So that's, you know, the history there is pretty crazy. And she corresponded back with her father about when West Hill was getting built. And it's the very first recorded, like, only records they have of that, because that was unheard of back then. So it was pretty interesting.
So how long then did her husband stay there after her passing?
So he left shortly after that. What happened is they ended up, when they moved there, they adopted a little girl named Sarah. She was a teenager. So then they both moved because Susanna never gave birth. She never had any kids. So then they moved, Sarah, the adopted daughter, and Samuel moved to the UK after Susanna passed away.
So then that's when Eliza and her husband bought the house?
Yeah, so before that, though, Susanna's family, because it was in her family anyway, the house, and if you're a Quaker, houses were allowed to get passed down to you, to females. So, so then Elijah Gurney, who was fascinating in herself, she bought the house in 67? She bought the house, I believe. Yeah. These dates, I have a hard time remembering dates. No, 1851. Okay. She moved into the house by herself. She was a widow. Her husband passed away by falling off a horse and hitting his head. Mm. So she moved back in and bought the house, and she was by herself in West Hill Manor. Yes. She was next to purchase it. The next famous lady.
What's so interesting to me is because I'm such a big history buff, and I find this very interesting. I'd never heard this story about Eliza, and she somehow reaches out to Abraham Lincoln. He's president at this time.
Correct.
She had a meeting with him.
Yeah, she went to the White House because, you know, they were abolitionists, they were against the war, they were Quakers. Gettysburg, that was the war that was going on at the time. So Abraham Lincoln, you know, he did not like the war. So she actually, because Elijah would speak all over the country. She was a minister, so she would do lectures and things like that. She was like, you know what, I'm going to go to the White House. So she took three friends, and they went to the White House, and it took a couple days for her to get into the White House. And she met with Abraham Lincoln and talked about the war, and he was so impressed by her that she actually brought him to tears. They, you know, went back to West Hill, and then Abraham Lincoln sent some of his men, and they went to White Hill, and they say, can you please correspond back and forth with the president? So she did that, and a lot of her letters are at West Hill in a photo album thing, and they corresponded back and forth for years. And they said, though, like, Mrs. Lincoln, Mary Todd Lincoln, never knew because she was a jealous type. So she didn't really know about that. So when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in the theater, Elijah Gurney's, one of her first letters were found in his pocket, all like, you know, a little disheveled, but he kept it on him wherever he went all the time.
You know, and I don't know the context of their relationship, but I could see him reaching out to someone like her because of her views, because of her stability, you know, with the church and her belief system, I think would have really aligned with him because he was very conflicted about the whole thing.
And, absolutely. Yeah.
And so I could see, you know, not necessarily being a romantic relationship. I could see him just respecting her. Do you think it was?
Well, you know what? I think maybe they had a crush on each other because, like, you know, I'm sure I'll get backsplash for this, but because she was a lonely widow, you know, and he was giving her attention. They were writing back and forth, you know, and you don't know. I'm just speculating, which I probably shouldn't, but you don't know if they might have something sweet on each other.
Well, and Mary Todd wouldn't have been an easy wife. Let's be real.
Yeah. yes.
So that would have been a lot.
Yeah. And there was also talk that it was also part of the Underground Railroad because there are two tunnels that are filled in. And one, you could see the opening, and the other one they're not sure of, which would lead out to the barns in the back of West Hall Manor, which aren't no longer there. And they had a good friend, you know, because it was illegal. You weren't, you know, allowed to harbor slaves. But they had a friend who lived in Burlington who in Bordentown, there's a pharmacy that's still there from 1700s that was their Underground Railroad, and they were friends. So there's probably no doubt that he would come there, and he visited West Hall often and take the slaves to there and then to the river and then out.
And how long did Eliza live in the house?
She died and she was in there. She was in her 80s when she died. And then the next family that lived there, there was three major families. Mr. and Mrs. Keller, he was a doctor and she lived there. Mr. Keller passed away. And then she made a deal with the Historical Society and the Masons. Because the Masons own West Hall Manor now. They own it now. They still own it. But she would let them have the house as long as she was able to pass away in there. And she did in 1992. And then the Masons made it their offices until about 10 years ago. They went back to Trenton to have their meetings. But they used to have their meetings there because, like I said, the Masons still own it.
So now, primarily, is it just used for, you know, more as a museum?
Well, they have it. You can come in and tour, and they have some stuff. There's everything was donated. There's no furniture in the house. There wasn't any furniture in the house. So Joe and Judy, the caretakers, they, you know, people donated and they brought stuff in and they got it painted to, you know, what they thought was the original colors back then. You know, they painted two different colors, one for Susanna's, you know, timeline and one for Elijah's. So they, you know, they have tours every third Sunday of the month. From like 1 to 4, they have tours and you go in, you can tour or you can schedule paranormal investigation. But it's, you know, it's in good condition. It has air conditioned heat. You know, a lot of places you investigate don't have that.
No.
And bathrooms. So, yeah.
Now, when did even the idea of paranormal present? Because was it someone like you who came along and said, there's something going on here? Or was that kind of knowledge that other people already knew? They're like, something's happening here.
Well, they had experiences before I even started the paranormal investigations. So a couple of the stories with the Masons that had their office there, at the top of the steps from the first floor to the second floor, one of the Masons that worked there, they saw a soldier run across the, you know, the hallway, you know, and they had all their gear on and stuff. And also they experienced this furniture moving. So they suspected, but they didn't know for sure. So that's why they wanted, you know, paranormal team to come out.
So were you part of one of the original investigations then?
Oh yeah. Yep. We were part of if not the very first one. Yeah. Cause no one else investigated. No one else would come out.
So when you said earlier, like when you're going to the location that you might start having some experiences in your car, maybe on the drive over.
Yeah.
Did that happen with with this place?
Well, because I knew the history, like, when you go, most of the time when you go to a paranormal investigation, unless you learn the history in school or something, you don't want to know the history until you get there, because you're the biggest instrument, what you sense, feel, see, and hear. So I kind of knew the history already because we were talking to the gentleman, Joe, who was the caretaker. So I already kind of knew the history. So I wasn't feeling anything. It kind of just felt like a warm feeling, like inviting feeling, till I got inside. And I knew there wasn't anything, no bad energy or, you know, anything like that when I got there. So usually in private homes, that happens differently in private homes. But so, yeah, but nothing bad. They're all good spirits. They're just, you know, hanging out. Nobody's stuck there. They can come and go, human spirits. You have to coincide with them. You can't make them leave.
They might be so attached to that house, you know, because I could see how Susanna would be very attached. I could see how Eliza would be very attached.
Yeah.
And the other woman, what was her name, who died?
Mary Keller.
Yeah. I could see how she'd be very attached. Do you feel the female presence there?
Yep, female presence there. None of the women that lived there who died in the house ever gave birth.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know, right? Yeah. Or if they did, you know, obviously back then, women who gave birth and were pregnant, you know, they passed away. But they didn't, it's not noted anywhere. It's not noted. But you know what? From that old, you know, history is just stories told. I'm sure there's a lot of it that we don't know about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you feel as far as the presence in there? Do you feel like it could be Susanna or Eliza or Mary or all of them?
Mostly Susanna and Elijah. The Kellers, I don't know if they're, you know, they're there. But you feel Elijah, you feel Susanna. People have gotten EVPs on the recorder, electronic voice phenomena, you know, of you know, yes and no questions. And we're up in the bedroom where Susanna passed away. And, you know, when you go up to the second floor, you know, a lot of those places, they had a sitting area and a bedroom. So they were connected. So what they did was they blindfolded Susanna, and a nurse walked her in because they didn't want her to see all the instruments.
Oh.
You know, yeah. So, and where she wrote the letters to her dad back and forth. So, a lot of that is pretty amazing in itself. I think, you know, because, you know, I think when people pass away there, sometimes, you know, their energy and their spirit stays around, but they can come and go. They're not stuck. They just chose to come back because they come back to, you know, familiar times. I'm sure with Susanna, you know, it wasn't all bad while she lived there. Just, you know, that time when she had the breast cancer, you know, and then Elijah, I think, loved it. She actually, the house is original 1700s. And when Elijah got there, she had the one and only room on a library. And that was in the 1800s. So everything else is original, all original floors, all original woodwork. Yeah.
Well, and it's nice that it's been maintained all these years.
Yeah, they got lucky. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can tell everybody had money because, you know, and like, those old 1700 houses, how the upstairs stairs are so little, mm-hmm. you can't even get your foot on. They're big. It's a grand staircase all the way up to the third floor.
That's interesting because they are so frequently very narrow, steep steps.
Yes, right. Yep.
Which in now, like, nobody would think of putting in a staircase like that. That would be unsafe.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
What kind of activity is picked up there frequently?
Well, when the paranormal investigators are there, they have their equipment light up. I've experienced furniture moving, apparitions. When Jason Halls was there from Ghost Hunters, him and JV, they experienced, if you watch Jason Halls' YouTube channel, I'm on there. But other than that, he actually captured two apparitions on film that you could see on there. So they experience that. A lot of people see like shadow figures. One of the sad things is we do hear screaming, and I believe it's a Susanna. I can't blame her, you know, especially with no anesthesia or pain meds when they had to cut that all out and all, you know.
So I can't imagine.
We hear screaming. We hear whispering, a lot of talking back and forth. We walking. You can hear walking on the hardwood floor.
I just can't imagine what she went through. What do you think that could be, though? Because it seems to me, if you come back and you choose to stay in that house, maybe there's other places she might go as well. But you also wouldn't want to be reliving the worst thing that ever happened. Because I can't imagine much happening that would be worse than that experience.
Maybe they want history, you know, they want their story told. It's part of history for generations to come. So they just, most of the time, you just want to hear their story. But, you know, you wonder sometimes when you go in as a paranormal investigator, are you calling them back because you're asking them to light up equipment? You're asking them, it's called a burst session on the recorder. And it's like for 2 minutes and you go around and you ask questions about the house and the person. And then you play it back to see if they answer you on the recorder, which sounds like a whisper. So you wonder that we're still learning and growing. You wonder how much you keep calling them back because you're asking them to perform.
True.
I always wonder that, you know. And then how many times you're like, oh, can you light this up? Can you light this up? That'd get on my damn nerves.
They're like, I can, but I don't want to right now.
If you ask me one more time. So, yeah, I don't know. We don't know. It's a mystery. We don't know what happens when you cross over. We no one's ever come back, you know.
But to hear people screaming in the house, knowing the history of that house and that happened there, how can you not connect those two things?
Exactly. I mean, like, who else is screaming? And you can tell it's a female voice that is screaming. And I think because she was now she knows, honestly, she probably didn't know back then when she was alive, but the very first one and only breast cancer survivors in the United States, you know, maybe she wants her story to be told on how it started and how it is now, you know, to have breast, any kind of surgery.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. You don't always hear about cancer in that era, but it would have been fatal. And I would think 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't even know.
What's happening. She was a miracle. Yeah, she was a miracle. I guess because she had money. Oh, and also her Dr. Fizik, her brother-in-law, he was a very first, written the very first book about surgeries. So he was one that was just dabbling into starting surgeries.
But my God, that had to have been a really, really difficult decision for her. And I don't know that I could have made that decision just thinking about the pain.
Well, she said, and that's why they tried everything else first, because she was afraid of the surgery. You know, I guess they had enough sense to know, well, this ostrich egg, it's not supposed to be there, you know. And she was probably getting other symptoms that, you know, she was probably tired. She was probably had some pain by then, by being that big, you know, she probably had pain. She was probably running a fever. She was probably all kinds. She probably had other signs and symptoms that they knew was because of this egg, because that's the only other foreign thing on her body, you know?
Can't imagine.
I can't imagine the pain. It's like terrifying, you know, terrifying.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Beth O'Brien about the West Hill Manor. For more information on West Hill Manor and on Beth O'Brien, click on the links in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teal's, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.